Good morning.
Good morning.
For any of you who may be new to Valley Brook, I am Elder Abercrombie. I am the youth pastor here, and Pastor Dan is off seeing what's the sixth irresistible? Is it the sixth or the seventh?
No.
You think it's seven? It's the latest one, whichever one. The most recent. It's the most recent. So y'all pray for them. Most recent grandbaby. Most recent irresistible is what he calls them. So it's most recent grandbaby. So he's down in South Carolina. So y'all pray for him and Sister Laverne as they travel back. Back this way and enjoy the wonderful folks down there. But for today, since y'all got me, Yay. Yay. Oh, you're too kind. Yeah. We'll see if you feel the same way by the time I'm done. This morning, since it's Communion Sunday and it's Youth Sunday, I thought it might be good to just take a look at just at the elements of what that is. And I mean, I know for some of you seasoned Christians that, you know, this is old hat. You know, I looked at this stuff before. But, you know, for some of our youth, since you're joining into a youth group today, I wanted to make sure that we kind of crystallized a little bit of what it was that was before us, what it is, what's the reason why we actually take time out. You know, for us, it's once a month. For some denominations, it's every Sunday. For some, it's, you know, once a year. But why is this time special? Why is it important? So if you are a youth, or at least a couple of you, I'd like you to actually come up front just to have a seat. For me, please. Just a couple of the youth, please. Just a few. Even those that might be visiting here from Atlanta or Missouri. Visiting as freshmen from their new prospective colleges. That'll work. That'll work. Come on, just right there, just right there. Vivian, come on now, come on. Come on. I will name names. I will call you out. All right, so let me put on my glasses because otherwise I will truly be winging this because I won't be able to see anything that I've written down here on this piece of paper. Okay. As you know, we came out of Matthew 26th chapter, 26 through the 29th verse. And the verse talks about the very first communion. Okay, the very first Lord's Supper. And I have to say that in preparation, you know, I think I may have had a little bit, well, I won't say I had an understanding. But I could kind of imagine maybe a little bit of what Jesus was going through. Here we are, we're at a Passover dinner and everything is going well, and our Savior is probably at a certain point kind of in a state maybe of reflection, kind of maybe just looking over his disciples and, you know, watching them in revelry and, you know, him enjoying himself. But in the back of his mind, it's starting to dawn on you. You know something? Something's different about today. Something's about to change. Now, of course, he knew what that something was. So in the middle of this ordinary dinner, he decided to do something different. I went back and forth with the title of this message. I was going to say, you know, changing the ordinary to extraordinary, doing something different. And I guess if I could come up with anything, I could just say, doing what I need to do because of love. doing what I need to do because of love. You see, Jesus sat there, and as he sat there, he looked at the table, and, you know, on the table there was wine and there was bread. It's probably a sundry of other things that were around, but just looking at it, there was wine and there was bread, and he looked at it, and each one of them took on a different kind of a symbol, you know. In the Jewish culture, wine and bread, I mean, you know, that was common. This is something that you would see at on every table. You know, depending on the type of bread, you could probably tell what station that person was in life. You know, we look at the blessing of the 5,000 when they were fed, and they were all fed barley bread. Why was that important? Well, barley bread was the bread of the poorest of the poor. If you had bread that was nice and thick and leavened and, you know, puff, you probably had to have a little bit of cash. Certain types of bread weren't even used. You couldn't find leaven anywhere close to the sacramentals, to the sacraments. You know, anything that was going to be sacrificed, nope, you didn't use that. No leaven. It was all unleavened. So just looking at the bread, you could kind of tell what was going on. Was this person about to go do a sacrifice? Was this person just about to eat? Was this person rich? Was this person poor? So Jesus at this point was probably just looking at this bread going, this is something special. For every bread at a meal, you're supposed to do a blessing. The blessing in the Jewish culture goes, "Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who has brought forth bread from the earth." It was a blessing of thanksgiving. So at that point, I'm sure Jesus decided that he was going to be thankful. But more so thankful than just thanking everybody for bread. He knew that. Thanking God for bread, he probably thought, what's the importance of the bread that I am? He probably thought to himself, what's the importance of what's about to happen next? So he looked at his disciples and he said, you know what? I'm thankful. I thank for what it is that you're going to become. I thank for, unfortunately, for the things that you'll have to go through. I'm thankful for the blessings that are going to come your way and how you're going to change the world around you. And he probably sat there with just some adornment and just gazed at them and smiled. Because he knew that what he was going to give them was going to be something greater than they had expected on this very day. So he walked over and he said, you know what? Let's take this bread and break it. Now, you know, we highfalutin folks these days. You know, we got sliced bread, you know, already. But no, he went and broke the bread. Just take a piece. Now, what's the significance of that? So what? You got a piece of bread. You want some bread? They want bread. Here you go. Y'all can split that between the two of you. I didn't expect that. But what was the significance of taking a piece of bread? You know? Here you have just some bread in your hand, you know. Say again. It was sustenance. I mean, look at every culture. Isn't bread in every culture? It's a staple. It's that standstill. It's that one thing that's there for everyone. And then when we stand at the altar, or not at the altar, but at the dinner table, whatever, you know, we take that bread. When we break it, there's something about breaking bread together. There's something about that union that's there at the table. It's something about just being there together. But the breaking of the bread in and of itself was significant. You see, we can't just take a piece of bread like that and just swallow it whole, can we? I'm sure that would be Heimlich maneuvers done for all of us. So just to break the bread, just to share the bread, we had to break it. Just to ingest the bread, we have to break it down even more. And I'm sure Jesus started and sat back and said, you know what? Let me look at what it is about me, about being the bread and the breaking of this bread and the importance of what it is. You see, the first thing that was important was that Jesus knew that he was the bread of life. As the bread of life, that made him the staple of all life. That made him something that we would all want to take a part of, something that without it, there was nothing else. It's the very piece that puts a little meat on our bones. Jesus, in Colossians 1, 15 through 23, saw himself as this, or Paul saw Jesus as this, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things and in all things and holds all things together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. You see, every time that you were to look at this bread, you were to see something that was more than just an ordinary loaf. You were to see something that was destined to be a part of who you are. Every time you were to see the bread, you were to see what was the fullness of life that Christ was promising for you. He wanted you to see that every time that bread was there, that there was provision for you. I mean, think about it. If you looked at the Jews, they look at the bread, and bread was sacred. Bread meant, hey, this is what God provided. It was the first miracles that they really saw. Well, not the first, but it was a miracle that they saw as they went along their journey from Egypt to Canaan. Here, they didn't have time to plant any crops. I got to travel to this new land, you know. Well, you know, wait on up. We got to till this land. We'll wait a few weeks and we'll get you some bread. You know, that's not where it was. But from heaven came this manna. This manna came down tasting of coriander and honey that lasted for a day. That allowed you to eat all you needed. And then the next day it was gone. With the exception of the day before the Sabbath, where it came down in double fold, so you could collect all that you needed for 2 days. And when the day ended, well, there was now enough left. Not because it had rained double fold, because that's just because God wanted it that way. Hey, I'll just give you a little bit more. But at the end of the Sabbath, that's when it melted away. It was as if God was saying, look, I am your provision. I want to give you an example of what my provision looks like. That you have no need to hoard it because the next day I got you again. But if you, in your greed, try to figure out a way to tuck something back on the side, you'll find that it just goes away. Because all of a sudden you're learning that you're not depending on me, but you're depending on what it is you kind of see before you. So Jesus looked at that, and it's interesting to me. When you go back and start to look at in John when he starts to talk about this, you start to see how, you could see how there was a lot of things that he was going to have to break down. See, that's where the breaking of the bread comes up. You know, when he broke it, He knew that he was going to have to break down a lot of stuff that was set it up about him. He had to break down a lot of misconceptions that were all settled in around him. He had to break up the fact that, you know, hey, well, we got to hoard things in order for us to have what it is that God's given for us. You had to break up all the traditions that were going on that surrounded it to figure out, okay, this is what holiness looks like. He had to break up the divisions that were sitting in the church that say, well, you know, hey, you are here, you are here. He was like, no, I am for everyone. Notice that when I broke the bread, I didn't have a loaf for the ladies and a loaf for the men. I didn't have a loaf for the slave or a loaf for the free. I didn't have a loaf for those who had money and tithe and those that didn't. All I had was a loaf. Jesus broke the bread to say, this is my body. The breaking indicated the breaking that he was going to have to go through. He knew that his own body had to break. Can you imagine just how he may have just sat there, imagining the pain that might be coming forward? Can you imagine how he may have just looked at it and wondered what was to come next, but at no point doubting that he was going to go through with it? Young people, every time that you see this bread at communion, I want you to remember that the Christ that it represents, that this was the body that he purposely allowed to be broken. Not just so that he can get some awards like, yes, I have a broken body. But he broke it for you. Because he knew that there were no sacrifices that were going to be able to satisfy the death that we would all deserve. He also knew that there was no power out there great enough, to be able to conquer all it is that you would have to go through in life. That you were going to need a Savior. That you were going to need someone to be with you in times when you felt like everyone else has deserted you. He knew that you were going to need someone to be beside you so that in the times when you had no power at all, that if you ingested him, he would well up inside of you and give you something more than you ever thought you had. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Take that bread with you. Then he had the blood or the wine. Now the wine, that was a significant piece there. I kind of liked the wine a little bit. Not that way. Because see, the wine, again, very common item on the table. There were all kinds of wines in the Jewish community. But in my reading, I did find out they were not known for their wine. As a matter of fact, their wine was so sweet that most people were like, yeah, let's drink wine from other places. It was not good. So, you know, hey. But see, for them, the wine was there. As your wine was blessed, just like the bread was. Matter of fact, in the Jewish tradition, the bread was blessed first, and actually how it was done, the bread was blessed first and then the wine. Or if the wine was being blessed, they actually covered the bread to act as if it wasn't there because it had such prominence in the culture. But it had already had its blessing. So why would Jesus have to bless it again? What was he blessing at that point? What was the purpose of this wine? I like the fact that maybe the blessing of this wine is because he knew that in him shedding his blood, that it now made us a part of a different vine. All of a sudden, we were now switched from this death vine. We were switched from this worldly vine. We were switched. We were talking in youth Sunday youth class the other day, and we were talking about being at a different high school. Okay? Now, when you're a part of, I should go university since y'all, it's been a while since some of y'all been in high school. But, hey, me too. But think about it. Think about your rival. Okay, think about your rival in high school. Can y'all think that you remember like that Friday before, you know, that big game, all the hype that went on, right? You wearing your school colors, you know, everybody's decked to the T's like, yep. You know, you're at the pep rally, like, we're going to beat them. We're going to beat them, right? Nobody wanted to do anything but beat the rival, right? So you dressed yourself on your side of your school. You know, what were your school colors?
Blue and gold.
Blue and gold. What were your school colors? Yeah. What was your college colors?
Green and white.
Green and white. That'll work. I bet you can remember your rival's colors.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So you sided with that side. And there was a whole culture around your school, right? You know, for us, like it or not, for us, my high school, we were the Red Devils. Okay. Our colors were red and black. Okay, my mascot name was Rufus. Y'all laughing at Rufus? But we had this rival high school. We had a number of them, but one particular one we could not stand, and that was Jeff Davis. Could not stand. I don't care what we did. We get into the state championships. We got the best team. We had some of the best running backs out. We go up against them and somehow lose. During Birmingham schools, couldn't stand them. But our culture around that game was big. You know, we had our own fight song, and it was the thing that got us riled up when we were ready to fight. And we all had on our black and gold. We had, black and gold, red and black. We had our little special thing there called the red dot. I can't tell you what it means. If I did, I'd have to kill you. But we all had that special piece. See, that was the side that we were on. We clearly knew where our side was. We were here, they were there. But when we live in this life sometimes we can't figure out what side it is. Because this earthly life is a lot of times it's just out to get us. It measures us by, well, just how much can you bring in? How good are you? How the competition is always, you're not good enough. You got to be better than her. You got to bring in more than this. You got to be, you know, and then there's so much there. And it's willing to throw you away just as quickly as it's willing to embrace you. This was the vine that we were a part of. So imagine all of a sudden somebody deciding that the only way to get you is to give their life, to wash you clean, so that you can have a different vine. So that all of a sudden you are now a part of a different line, one line that appreciates everything of who you are, one line that is there to take every sin that you've ever had and wash it all away. A vine that says, you know what? I'm your life. Me. And I want to help you live the fullest of who you are. I want to cleanse you from all that guilt, all that fear, all that anxiety, all that other stuff. And I want to give you something that's even more than what you even thought you could have, and that's that eternal life. So that when this life ends, it's only the beginning of where you're going for next. Man's been looking for this all over the place. Been looking for it in a pill, been looking for it in a potion, been looking for it in science, been looking for it in everything. Figuring that maybe if I get out into space, I'll find some planet that's got some herb that'll be able to allow for me to live this life, and that I can avoid the one thing that nobody else can, and that's death. So Jesus came down and said, you know what? There is something. There's one thing that can conquer death, hell, and the grave. But the only way to do it is for me to shed my blood. So he sat back down and he looked at his disciples and he said, this is my blood, drink of it. For this is for the forgiveness of your sins. Who are you? He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You see, this meal is more than just a ceremony. It's about a promise. And it's about a promise that he wanted to give to you, and that he gives to all of us. He was saying, if you decide to take me, that the brokenness that you will have in your life will be worth every step. Because in the end, your sins have been forgiven and you have been cleaned and washed. And you'll be presented in front of God. Because that was his mission, to take everyone that he had been called and to make sure that he brought them all to him safely. So as we begin to take of our communion today, for the young people that have accepted Christ, I say, thank you. I say, that's a good beginning to your journey. He's there. Use him. That promise that he's given is yours. To those that haven't, consider who he is. Consider that he's not just looking forward to, he's not looking just to add to his numbers. He's not looking at this is just something to say that it's a new club to be a part of. He did it because you are someone that has been called to him by God. There is something special about you and the mission in life that he has for you. And he wants to make sure that you stay a part of who he is. All of you. For those of you who accepted Christ long, long ago, he's renewing that promise with you every day. He's saying, take of my body. All of this brokenness that you've gone through in life, it has not been in vain. He's saying, take that blood. Notice and allow for all of the guilt, shame, setbacks, defeats to be washed away. To those of you who have not yet, give him a try. Give him a try and watch him change your life. There is a path that is less trodden than the others, but it leads to a wonderful place. Follow him and find out where you're going. follow him and watch where he leads. While we were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin." Amen. You can eat it. You can eat that bread.